Hello and welcome. I'm Alice Green, America's Healthy Lifestyle Coach, and this is Class 1 of the Food Freedom Workshop. During the next 12 weeks, you're going to be learning how to fully master your relationship with food so that you can eat normally, be able to stop before getting full, avoid temptations, overcome emotional and subconsciously triggered eating, and be able to successfully plan, shop, and prepare healthy meals and snacks. And you'll also get a good understanding of basic nutrition, which honestly is not as complicated or as difficult as you might think. And you'll know how to overcome cravings, binging, and other challenging food situations that most likely have been a part of your life for many, many years. And when you're done with this 12-week program, you're going to have the techniques, concepts, and practice to finally have that self-confidence, self-control, and sense of freedom with food that will probably change more than even your eating behaviors. In fact, for many people, what's happening with food is a mirror of what's happening in other parts of their lives, and the insights can bring many positive and unexpected changes. What you're going to expect from this program is learning how to connect to your natural desire for healthier foods and intuitive portion control, as well as a reconnection to your body, and finally an ability to release that guilt and self-criticism that you've probably had with food for years. You'll also explore ways to have healthy food satisfaction and get to experience the pleasure of feeling good, both physically and about yourself. And that is what I hope for you and what I expect you'll achieve if you fully commit to this program, listen to all the sessions, use the workbook during the week, and show up in the coaching calls. In this first session together, I'm going to be introducing you to some new ways of thinking about food and eating. I'll be describing my three-step or 3C process and explaining how to become familiar with your body's hunger levels. And then I'll wrap up with information about using the workbook and practicing awareness this coming week. Now, to ease your mind right up front, this program is not going to have you tracking all your foods or tracking all your calories. But not to worry, that doesn't mean that you'll be eating without any structure. It just will be a different type of structure that works just as well and is actually more effective. Now, before we get started, I want to share a few things about myself because you probably don't know that much about me. I'll start back for when I was a child, when I did a lot of overeating and I turned to food to deal with the abuse and the trauma that was going on in my home life and to deal with the shame that I felt about myself. I was one of the fattest kids back in my elementary day schools, back in class, which really affected my self-esteem. And going into middle school, I was still one of the heaviest kids. Very hard for a kid to go through that. And it was very painful for me. By the time I got to be a senior in high school, I couldn't fit into any of the clothes sizes that you could find at available stores. You know, back then that was a size 12, maybe a 14, and I was getting to the point where I couldn't fit into any of them. And so to address that, what I did is my very first extreme diet. And it was great, at least so I thought at the time. Within a few months, I was down to a size 6, and I was getting to go to the stores and pick out all these cute little outfits, and it was very exciting. But as you can well imagine, that didn't last. And again, after high school, when my weight nearly topped 200 pounds, I repeated that extreme diet. But that time, I kept it going for more than a year. I did it until I just couldn't take it anymore. So, of course, a lot of the weight came back on. So what I did, as so many of you have done, and I'm sure you've done many, many diets in your life, what I did to keep myself thin throughout my 20s is I picked something a little less severe, but still pretty severe dieting, and then I compensated for that by overeating when I wasn't on them, and back and forth I went. then, in my early 30s, I discovered the low-fat diet back in 1981 or 82, about the time when that came out. And, you know, it seemed to work for me. I stuck with that for nearly 10 years, and I was able to stay fairly slim. But I have to admit that at the same time that I looked slim, I actually felt really ashamed of my body. I was so ashamed of how flabby I was. And so I hid myself. I didn't wear shorts in the summer. I didn't wear any short tops or clothes that were too tight or revealing. Yeah, I looked thin, but I had a really high body fat percentage, and I didn't feel good about myself. Even so, you know, I probably would have stuck with that diet long term if I could have. But when I got into my early 40s, as happens to many women, my hormones began to change. And at that time, I was dealing with several challenging health issues, most notably chronic fatigue, and I was going through a midlife crisis. And what happened was my great little diet stopped working. In, I think it was within 15 months or so, I put on 5 dress sizes, and my weight got totally out of hand. And that's when I had what I now call a defining moment, where I stood there in front of my mirror, taking full stock of myself and resolved to finally take better care of myself before it became too late. And during the next couple of years, I discovered that there was a way to exercise that I could stick with, and there was a way of eating that was healthy and fueled my metabolism and energy instead of going to a starvation diet. And at the end of 2 years, I was back in my clothes and in the best shape I'd ever been in, and I loved it. And for the first time, I actually felt good about myself and about my body. Now, not long after that, I learned about something called mindful eating. And I have to say, I was totally amazed at how similar it was to what I was starting to do naturally for myself after the years of tracking my food and finally getting to the point where I could start to trust myself and to listen to my body. And then I got to study with Diana Lipson-Burge. Now, you probably haven't heard of her, but she was a dietitian who was an early leader in the intuitive eating movement and who had at that time partnered with Jackie Joyce Brandt, a psychotherapist, to help people address emotional eating and finding a way to eat food in a more controlled way. And together, they wrote a great little book. I don't even think it's in print anymore, but at the time it was really a wonderful book to get my hands on, called Undieting. And that was 7 years ago. 7 years ago now, I got certified with Diana in intuitive and emotional eating. And that was the beginning of my understanding about what drives our food choices and our portions and our relationship with food. And since then, I've learned a great deal more about what I call subconscious eating and what it really takes to resolve eating challenges from all my years of having the wonderful opportunity of working with hundreds of clients. And I'm going to share with you a lot more about my insights and my understanding in the weeks ahead. Now, if you're not familiar with the term mindful eating or intuitive eating, I want to take a moment and kind of explain that. They're both terms used to describe the ability to eat in response to your physical hunger, meaning eating when you get hungry, being able to stop when you're satisfied before you get full, and only eating for physical hunger. Now, there are some experts and authors who write about this who also delve into emotional eating, but many of them don't. And to me, the discussion about mindful eating is inextricably linked to what drives our choices, whether we're mindful or not. I know that you're going to be hearing a lot more of these terms in the media. During the past decade, more and more nutritionists, food disorder specialists, psychotherapists, physicians, and now wellness coaches have started to align themselves with this new movement that's moving away from dieting and toward mindful eating. And that's why I think you're going to hear a lot more about it. I think you're going to see a lot more being written about this change and the use of the terms mindful and intuitive eating in your health, fitness, and women's magazines. I'm certainly starting to see that. Despite this shift, what continues to amaze me is that it's still not quite mainstream, and that what you'll learn in this program will probably be very new to you. But there is more and more clear evidence that restrictive diets don't work and may in fact be a leading cause of obesity. Now, I don't think it's going to be the leading cause, but it's certainly a significant cause. And there's very equally compelling indicators and successes which show us that mindful eating is the best way to eat normally and in smaller portions, and that getting to that subconscious root of eating behaviors is the key to being in control of food. To me, the good news is right now, at this point in time, it's becoming a little bit more mainstream, and it is being recognized and promoted, particularly since no major diet fad has emerged since the low-carb decade. And I think that's saying something right there. You know, if there was a diet that worked, it would be the rage, and I don't think you'd be here with me. On the flip side, the bad news is this isn't a rapid weight loss program, and it isn't as clear-cut as counting calories or points. And that's why a 12-week program is needed to guide you in making mindset changes, getting to the root of what drives you to overindulge and make unhealthy choices, as well as to help you to make day-to-day changes that you can live with in your own unique daily situations and routines. And as you'll learn, everyone is different in what works for them and what drives them and what they prefer and how they operate. So there isn't a one-size-fits-all that I can hand out. You will have to discover what's true for you in this workshop, and you will need some help doing that. And that's why the coaching sessions are going to be invaluable to you, both in getting help from me to understand your behaviors and in you getting a chance to listen to others. Now, what's going to help you the most is the three-step process I've created, which is the foundation of this program and what I call the three C's. So let me tell you just very briefly what those three C's are. The first C is consciousness without judgment. The second C is clarity through understanding what it is that drives your choices and then having the tools to resolve them. And the last C is confident choices, the C really being for choices, healthy choices, which is the knowledge, planning, and desire to make healthy choices without the need for being perfect or the need for being deprived. The reason the first C is consciousness is that if you aren't aware of what it is that you're doing when you're doing it, you don't have the option to do something else. You don't have the ability to make a different choice. So if you aren't aware that you're overeating or how full you're getting, then you aren't going to realize you've had enough. And if you aren't aware of what your body is feeling, you aren't going to know when you're getting hungry or you're getting full and can't respond to what it is you need physically to manage your blood sugar levels, your metabolism, or your portions. I think, sadly, the one thing few of us have ever been encouraged to do when it comes to food is to pay attention to what our body does or doesn't need or want, or how we feel physically, or what it is that would feel better to us. As a result, our eating behaviors are driven by shoulds and shouldn'ts and other people and our subconscious, instead of our conscious awareness of what's in our best interest and what would feel best to us. Being conscious, as you're going to discover, changes your entire relationship with food. Your awareness gives you more control, choices, and confidence, and it isn't as hard as you might imagine, as you're going to learn this coming week. Now, because the way we eat is influenced so much by diet rules, the latest research on what is healthy and the various shoulds and shouldn'ts learned throughout life, it's hard to feel good about our choices when we don't do as we know we should. Yet, the minute you judge your behavior, you set off another chain of subconscious reactions and self-criticism that makes it impossible to look at your situation objectively. And that in itself will invariably trigger more eating. As you probably have learned, judgment doesn't change your behavior. It worsens it. And I bet you can think of many times when you were hard on yourself, and despite that judgment, you didn't stop what you were doing. Not only that, judgment fails to recognize what it is that's really driving your behavior and choices, and that what's driving those, it's not black and white. It isn't good or bad. In fact, there's usually a really good reason for what you're doing, and one that is valid and deserves attention. You know, very often when you find yourself eating poorly or overeating, what's really going on is you're getting a little red flag. You can almost picture that little flag sort of saying, hey, you know, pay attention. It's kind of a red flag trying to get your attention to look at what's really going on. So the way to be conscious and to do this without any judgment is to simply notice when you're doing something that doesn't leave you feeling good physically or feeling good about yourself. And to be curious, why is that? You know, be curious about why is that happening? Now, you may not fully understand it at the time, but if you jot down a few notes, you know, you might figure it out later. Or you can take those notes and mention that in our coaching session so that you can get help to get at the root of it. And once you become aware of an incident when you overate or skipped a meal or ate foods that weren't very healthy, then you can move into the second C, which is gaining clarity about what it is that's really going on. With that clarity, you'll start to see patterns, or you'll start to see patterns and get the clarity in the way that you eat that you never noticed before, or that you may notice that something specific triggers you at a certain time of day, or that it's only in the evenings when you tend to overeat and the mornings are just fine, or isn't it interesting that you don't eat when you're hungry, or that when you don't eat for long periods of time and finally eat, you overeat. You just start to say, you start to see some of the patterns of your behaviors, and you can do that by simply observing, being a neutral observer, where you're not judging it in any way. In the process, you may also discover that what you assumed was emotional eating, or maybe what you thought was laziness or something else, isn't that at all, but something that you just hadn't noticed before that was really going on. Maybe you were tired, or maybe you were turning to food because you felt that you didn't have a choice. So a lot of the things that you're going to discover are probably going to surprise you. So this second step is what I call a self-discovery process. It's where you'll gain insights about the many different things that affect your food choices and that affect your ability to be in control. And this process is not about being good or bad, as I was sort of alluding to before, because what's driving you is not about good or bad, but really about getting your needs met and reacting to the different beliefs that you had, some of which are deeply rooted, while others are more recently established. What I often see is that when you have a certain behavior, let's say that you overate chips one night, that you see that as this isolated event. But in truth, it isn't an isolated event. It's actually the result of thoughts and beliefs and emotional reactions that are driving that event. It's sort of like thinking of the tip of the iceberg, where that behavior is the tip and there's all this other stuff going on underneath that's really making that iceberg a lot bigger than it looks, and what's really going on is hidden underneath, hidden down in your subconscious. And what's interesting is that these thoughts and beliefs and emotional reactions are often at odds with one another and driving you without you even being aware of them. And once you start to identify and understand what these are, you're going to be able to address and resolve them. And if it's appropriate, create strategies to support you when they come up again. And yet, you know, most scenarios around food repeat themselves over and over and often. And what's great about that is you have lots of opportunity to learn from hindsight and to plan ahead with foresight. And I also want to point out, it's not uncommon to have more than one subconscious driver impacting your behavior, which is much tougher to see, and especially on your own. And I can actually think of a good example that I can share with you of a gal, Helen. She was a former client of mine. And I remember when she went out to dinner with a friend one time and really overate. And when we were walking through it together, what we were able to see is that this happened, that the reason that she overate that night was in part because her friend was paying for it. So she felt she had to eat it all out of respect. And in part because she was feeling a bit insecure, so the food was comforting. And because she didn't go out to eat very often and didn't know when she'd get pampered like that again and have a meal like that again. And that's all subconscious. Now, before she had her session with me, she had also jotted some things down and she was trying to figure it out on her own. You know, what was it that had driven her to eat so much that night? And for her, the only thing that she was picking up on was that feeling of being insecure. And if she had only addressed that, she would have still been susceptible to overeating in the future when she went out to dinner with someone who picked up the tab, because she wouldn't have picked up on these other issues that were subconsciously going on. Now, once you have self-awareness and done the self-discovery, you're going to find that making healthy choices, the third C, it will be something that you naturally want to do, especially when you're focused on what gives you satisfaction and what leaves you feeling good and incorporating the foods that you love to eat in a healthier, flexible, and more balanced way. It's after you've been able to sort of get rid of the baggage and the subconscious issues that have affected your choices that you're able to very easily gravitate towards healthier ones. It's when you can't have what you want and feel deprived or don't have strategies for having healthy foods available when you need it or are run by subconscious drivers that making healthy choices is more challenging. But when those things are addressed, you'll naturally want healthier foods and to eat in a more balanced way. And you'll intuitively eat when you need food and stop when you've had enough. Just like little kids do, you know, like toddlers that you see who intuitively are able to stop when they're done. They know when they're hungry. They know when they've had enough. They tend to, and of course, toddlers don't always have the ability to say what choices they have with food, but when they do choose, they often choose healthier things. And they do that up until the point that they're affected by other kids. They're affected by adult timetables or the schedule of the household, by TV commercials, and other factors that start to override their natural inclination to eat only what they need, when they need it, and what's good for them. And I'll bet if you've had kids, you've probably seen this when they were very young. And the good thing is, we can reclaim that ability. We all have this innate knowing. And we can easily get it back with conscious awareness of our physical hunger and how we feel in our bodies. And in doing that, you become aware of the difference between those times when you're eating because of real hunger or because of something else. And that is actually where we're going to start in this workshop. We're going to start at the first C of consciousness without judgment. The technique that we're going to use for this is called the hunger scale. And you can see this in your workbook on page 7. Let me give you a moment to get that in front of you. The hunger scale, as you can see, runs from 0 to 10. We'll start at 0, where 0 is ravenous, and you can see on the opposite side, 10 is stuffed and a point where you're feeling pretty sick. Okay, so back at 0, the next number, 1, is where you're very hungry. 2 is hungry, and you can see that circled. And that's when you want to eat. 3 through 6 is when you're moving towards being satisfied, or if you've just eaten, moving towards being hungry. And in this range, there is no physical sensation. Then somewhere between 6 and 7, you're getting satisfied. And that's when you want to stop eating, before getting to an 8, which is full, and then there's 9, very full. If you eat at a 2 and stop before an 8, and you've had a balanced meal, you probably won't feel hungry again for about 3 to 4 hours. If you do feel hungry before that, then you either haven't had enough to eat, or you've just eaten carbohydrates, which begin to digest before you're done, so you can fill up and not fully realize it until you've gone too far. And if you don't feel hungry for many hours, then you're either unaware of your hunger signal, or you've ate too much the last time that you had food. By eating according to your hunger levels, you're going to be getting in sync with two important aspects of your body. One, your metabolic requirements, and 2, your blood sugar levels. For example, if you don't eat when you're hungry, your metabolism is going to start to fall, particularly if you go too long or you do this repeatedly, and your blood sugar levels will get low. On the flip side, when you eat to the point of being full or beyond, that's when you exceed your metabolic requirements for fuel, and as you probably already know, your body's going to store all that excess as fat. And on top of that, your blood sugar levels are going to go up in response to that large amount of food being broken down into glucose and flooding your bloodstream. And I might add, when that happens, your body's going to release more insulin to get your blood sugar levels back under control, which is not a good thing when you're trying to lose weight, because when insulin is high, it inhibits the body from breaking down and releasing fat. So one of the things that becomes important is keeping your blood sugar levels fairly stable. And that's not just to avoid getting diabetes, or if you have diabetes, to manage that, but to keep your hormones from affecting your ability to lose weight. Now, you can know all of this, all of what I've just explained, and still overeat. And there are 8 good reasons for that. And I am going to cover those in greater depth in our next class. But for now, I just want to briefly describe the list of these that are highlighted in that yellow box under the hunger scale. So you just want to have a sense of them this first week. So of the 8 reasons, the first is simply because you aren't paying any attention and you're just mindlessly eating. That's sort of obvious. But it isn't obvious until it's pointed out to you. Back to being mindful. The next reason is something I call ravenous response, or it's that point in which you are so ravenous, you're at that 0 on the hunger scale when you go to eat, and at that point, you are likely to overeat, going up to perhaps a 9 or even more, because you become so physiologically and psychologically driven to make up for the lack of food. Then third, as I described earlier, you can easily overeat if you eat just carbohydrates, and particularly if you just eat simple carbohydrates. The fourth reason is because you're rebelling against food restrictions or feeling deprived. Next is emotional repression, where you're using food as a coping mechanism and a way to avoid having to process your feelings. And this is really classic emotional eating. Next, there are unconscious beliefs that you carry, such as you have to eat everything on your plate or you shouldn't waste food, which subconsciously drives your behavior without you even realizing it. Seventh is perceived pressure. That's where your perception is that you have to eat because someone is pressuring you and that you're responsible for making them feel better at your own expense. And last is food associations, where you unconsciously associate a food with either another food, an event, or a situation, and then automatically have that food in those settings without really considering if you want it or not. It's a sort of autopilot. So those are the 8 different reasons that I've mapped out as to why you might continue to eat past that point of being satisfied. Now, as you become more aware of your hunger levels according to the scale whenever you eat something, you'll also start to notice if any of these eight things are coming into play when you overeat, or when you eat when you aren't even hungry, or when you make a choice that doesn't feel good. And to help you gain that awareness, you're going to use a tool called a discovery journal. And this is on page 8 in your workbook. Now, at first glance, this looks like a food journal, but it isn't. In fact, you're not going to be tracking your foods here. Well, at least you may track them periodically, but that is not the point. Because the one thing that won't help you gain control over food is to become preoccupied with food or to strive to be good in avoiding bad foods. That's what got you into trouble with food in the first place. The truth is, most of the problems that people have with eating has very little to do with food or what's on their plates. So instead, you're going to focus on how you feel. How you feel physically, mentally, and emotionally, and you're going to reconnect to your body, which has all the wisdom you need to make healthy choices and support you in determining portion control. And as a result, the focus is going to be on what feels good and discovering what doesn't feel good, then on striving to be good and then failing to be good enough. So for this coming week, you're going to fill out this discovery journal page, and it's one page for the whole week, and all you're going to do is write down the day of the week that you're starting and the date. So if you're starting tomorrow, put down that day of the week and fill that in for the whole week and the dates. And then for each meal or snack, and you'll have to write in the word snack when you have them, simply mark two X's on the hunger scale. You'll have one X that'll mark where you are on that scale when you start to eat, and the second X is going to be where you are when you stop eating. And also notice, when is it that you start to become full when you eat? So when you're eating this coming week, pay attention in addition to where you are on the scale. When, you know, at that point, when is it that you start to actually feel full? And what does that really feel like to you? And how do you know when it is that you're starting to feel full? Now, if you don't want to carry this page around, consider, you know, getting a little notebook, and you can jot down, you know, for each day, your breakfast, any snacks, lunch or dinner, and just put in your hunger scale and check it off, or create some other way to track it. And then you can transfer your X's back onto this page, and you'll have it all in one place. It's seeing it all together that you get to see really interesting patterns and start to gain insights. If you miss a few times and can't remember, don't make it up and put something down to fill it all in. The point of this journal isn't to get a good grade by filling in all the lines. The point is to become conscious throughout the day, and this is your tool to do that. This is a tool for you. Now, for those of you that want to do this in Excel, which is what I created it in, you can download that off the website. And then in our coaching session, you'll get an opportunity to share what you've observed. Now, before we wrap up, I do want to talk a little bit more about your workbook that you got, which you're receiving in weekly sections. So in this week's section, there is a questionnaire on pages 2 and 3 that will tell me a lot more about where you're at as you start this program, and later is going to be a great way for you to see your progress. You'll see that I have a fax number at the bottom of the page. Do please fill this in and fax it back to me within the first couple of weeks starting your program. I really do want to know, you know, where you're at when you start, and, you know, this is just a great way for you to kick things off. So there's a questionnaire, and then there are pages for taking notes during the classes and coaching sessions, and I really strongly encourage you to take notes, particularly in those coaching sessions. You'll definitely want to record what you learn, not only of the times when you're being coached, but also what others are getting coached on. And then you have a page to jot some notes as people introduce themselves in the coaching call, so you can sort of keep up with who's part of the group. And there are pages where you can journal more about what you observe, any insights you get, or strategies that you develop about overeating or eating when you aren't hungry or making unhealthy choices. So this workbook is for you to be able to capture everything that you're learning and to be able to kind of keep a record and have a place to put down the things that you observe about yourself and the strategies that you gain. It's going to be something that you will turn back to again and again. At this point, I want to say congratulations again for making this first step toward food freedom. This concludes our first session together. We will meet again next week. And in the meantime, I look forward to having you on the coaching call. And I want to wish you a really good week being conscious of your eating patterns. Talk to you soon.